People always ask, how can we help the show in a meaningful way? There's actually two ways you can do it right now. You can support the Kickstarter for Nerdtacular 2013, to which we're all going, among many other Frog Pants producers. And we want to see you there. So go to nerdtacular.com for details. Or you can subscribe for as low as $2 a month. Go to frogpants.com/subscribe.
Hi, I'm Mike Morheim from Blizzard, and you're listening to The Instance.
You are listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 313, and we're here to talk about WoW, everybody. Friday, March, what is it, the 8th? March 8th, 2013. I'm Scott Johnson. Joining me today is the triumphantly returning Dills. Dills, welcome back. How are you?
I'm excellent, Scott. I am so sorry that I missed two shows in a row, everybody out there.
People on Twitter have been trying
to steal my job. They're like, are you ever coming back? Are they looking for a third?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, geez, guys, I missed two shows.
Yeah, okay? Big deal. Come on. Everybody relax. We're not just going to chuck out the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah.
That's what we do with Terpster when he misses a few shows. Oh, Terpster's here, too. Terpster, what's going on?
I don't know. Am I getting replaced? What a way to tell me, like, at the top of the show. Devastated.
I can tell you this.
Well, it is Friday, you know, and Friday's a good day to replace a host.
I would.
That actually sounds good.
It does sound good. I would sooner remove my own male genitalia and pin it on a wall before I would let you
two know. How about your female genitalia, Scott?
No, it stays right where
it
is.
No, those are special. I want to keep those. But I would get rid of my male genitalia.
Right, correct. The female, it stays. Yes, so welcome, everybody. Welcome back. It's another show. It's another time. Thank you for all the fantastic comments throughout the week about the Greg Street interview that we aired last week. It was nothing short of a pleasure for me, and it was just great to get his insight on so many things. And people seem so surprised that he was open about things that didn't work. I don't know why they're surprised by that, because they do that on stage. I don't think this is new. I mean, they're definitely a more transparent Blizzard these days than they maybe have been in years past. But, you know, for Greg Street to say, yeah, we had a bunch of problems in Cataclysm and we've attempted to address lots of those, I don't think is any kind of crazy revelation. But it is still good to hear them talk in ways that, you know, you feel like you're kind of in the room with them a little bit. And
if you pay attention, though, you see it. You don't even need to hear them say it, you know.
Yeah.
You could see the transition from what they were trying to do in Cata to what they're trying to do now, and how much they've kind of flipped the script on what kind of game features they were putting out.
Yeah.
And that enough, you don't even need to hear them say it. That enough will tell you, whoops, we got it wrong. Now let's try to get it right.
And as long as you're not in a constant state of troll information revolt and you're approaching all this stuff emotionally, it is actually
that's
possible
just like
to
what
see
someone
it.
Someone who's in Blizzard's back pocket would say this guy. As long as you're being rational, feelings aren't rational.
Right. Well, we're in their back pocket and it's comfortable.
That's true. With the passion I feel for this game, Scott, how could I be rational?
Right.
About it?
You can't be, because you're in their back pocket. I will say this. There was one thing I meant to thank him for, and I didn't. And it was on behalf of Hunters Everywhere. And it was
a head rip?
It was thank you for letting us move and shoot.
Yes.
I mean, I just the other night was reminded, oh man, what was life before this? Like, I can't even imagine. I mean, I know what it was like. It was switching over to that stupid Fox aspect and going and running around like that without, you know, with half your DPS sticking out.
It was a lot of stutter stepping is what it was.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. So not to say that isn't a skill unto itself. I'm just saying the life has been made more interesting for me as a hunter because of that.
Firing a bow is tricky, though. I've tried it. It's hard. Yeah. Standing still and doing that is tricky. Running and doing that, that's not an impossible.
Right.
Like, I can understand with, like, rifles and stuff because, you know, let's all just run around and just pull a trigger. Yay. Okay. But, like, when you got a bow, that's some serious stuff.
Yeah.
Plus, like, a crossbow.
Yeah.
Reloading one of those. I mean, the nice thing about Warcraft is they've always got that crutch they can, lean on. Magic.
Right.
Oh, it's a magic bow. It's you can quite see it's an epic bow. It's got magical properties to it.
Uh-huh.
And one of the innate properties is it's easier to fire than an otherwise normal bow would be when running.
Yeah. And it's
your gear, though, gives you hit, which I'm assuming the real application of that means that, you know, my aim is just getting magically better. And
I think
so
it's just that it's lighter, it's more durable, but at the same time, it you know, it's not as cumbersome as old armor, so you've got greater agility. You know, it's all good. Well, I can see that.
This is one of those things that some people complain about, because in the game you don't need. Speaking of hunters again, you don't need ammo anymore. Back in the day, had to go buy that ammo, had to get the best crafted stuff. Blah blah blah.
But they still animate you pulling a new arrow out and all that kind of, I mean, that apparently is happening.
Yeah, but it's these kinds of things some people criticize as being, you know, the game being dumbed down or made too easy or removing the complexity or whatever. I never really feel like that. If anything, I'm able to handle the other complexities of the game better when I don't have to run out of arrows in the middle of a ho-deer fight and wonder what the hell I'm going to do.
I think the thing is, though, Scott, is people come at it with the historic and nostalgic memory of like, no, I was good because I managed those complexities. Whereas then they look at it and they've been taken away and they're thinking, well, hang on, what makes me good at this game anymore? Does this mean like anyone's as good as I was?
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
now
I was chatting to people about that.
Who, faster.
Exactly, exactly. And the thing is they don't really see how WoW has evolved. And you know, they think, oh, it's babyified. It's babification. Mm-hmm. Actually, that sounds just like it's hot.
That sounds pretty good, yeah.
But it's, you know, they've really made it, you know, they've made it accessible. But the thing is they don't come at it with a fresh, open mind of thinking, okay, well, what's changed? And how do I, you know, find my challenges and how do I, you know, better play my class?
Yeah.
You know, they think, oh, they've taken out all of the things that used to make it special. And I think it's a weird thing. It's tricky for Blizzard because obviously they want to entice those old players back in, because those players once upon a time did enjoy World of Warcraft and could again. But at the same time, they've got to juggle that with like all these new players that haven't played. And why haven't they played? Is it a case of they were just too young and now they've grown up? Or is it a case that they always put off by, you know, how much kind of micromanaging you have to do around it, and that they want to make it more, you know, another way?
Yeah.
And so I'm always impressed by the systems team and how each time we get an expansion, they basically reinvent the game. You know, there's very few things that are left, and they're like, you know, we've looked at this past year's kind of data and feedback, and we decided we're going to try it this way this year. Mm-hmm. There's very few things, expansion on expansion, that stay the same.
Yeah,
I don't think though, that they've actually. I don't think they've made the game technically easier, because right now we have more abilities to choose from with almost all classes across the board than we ever had before.
Yeah.
And having to manage, and all of them have practical reasons why you need to be able to use them, why you need to keep them on your bar. But there was a period of time where, sure, I had to manage how many arrows were in my bag, but I didn't have to manage 6 cooldowns. You know, I didn't have to figure out a whole bunch of things about each particular ability and which application it was best for. I could just have my set rotation and go. And as long as I made sure my bow didn't break and my arrows didn't run out, I was a pretty good hunter. You know, now I have to do everything in exactly the right order, always be ready for the best ability to come off a cooldown.
Yeah,
I think it's way more complicated than it was before. So, you know,
I think it's easier to be a good player nowadays, but I think it's harder to be a great player. And I think that's what they've really done, is they've pushed the bar higher for the very high end, but then brought up the kind of the general level of competency. Seems to be, you know, like, you know, people chunk out better DPS than they used to, or at least equivalently. And it kind of feels like, you know, that I think they're doing it right.
But well, it's easy to play, hard to master idea.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And I think that they've got that better now than they ever have before. Mm-hmm. But equally, I think that a lot of people out there get very, you know, don't see it, and they choose not to see it, and they come at it with, you know, the wrong context in mind. And that's why I think you get people accusing WoW of being too easy.
Mm.
It's because people are getting hung up on things that don't matter. And they used to matter, but they don't. And honestly, if you kind of let yourself get over that, then you'll find that, you know, World of Warcraft has got so much more to offer.
Yeah, I think Greg actually said it pretty well last week. He made a comment, something to the effect, I'm paraphrasing here, but that fun rules every meeting they have, every decision they make. So they never approach anything saying, well, it was kind of an interesting thing that you had to manage your pet health or happiness and your number of arrows to continue the hunter example. that may have been a thing, and it may have been an interesting thing at one point. But as things have shifted toward Dill's point of view, which I agree with, which is, you know, to master this game, it is a far more complicated game, and it's not fun to worry about how many arrows you have left. It's not fun to worry that your pet died twice and now is pissed at you. That's not fun anymore. So
it never was.
If fun always, you know, I mean, it's on their wall there. It's part of their mission statement, you know, gameplay over all things. And that means if this isn't fun, then what the hell are we doing? Here is my opinion of the special sauce that makes Blizzard successful and makes other MMO companies flounder and struggle and often fail. And that is that fun is chief among all things. They're not going to release something unless it's really, really polished. If not perfect, at least polished. And thirdly, they're willing to take the time it takes to make those two first rules happen. If you can get those three things happening, you're done. EA quits having failures. everybody else who's sucking it in that space quits launching and losing millions and laying off everyone.
Maintenance things for the sake of maintenance things, you know, that's I think where it to people who like Terpster's example, the older players who played the game when it was very tough and it was very grindy. There's a lot of things in the game where it was really just, I have to maintain this just because I have to. There's no real reason outside of just, and if I don't do it, I can't do the thing. You know, I mean, talk about warlock shards and things like that. I mean, that was just, you had to leave the raid and go just kill a bunch of stuff and go build them back up so you could come back in and continue to raid. I mean, it was just ridiculous. There's no reason to do that outside of making you do that. So that's not making the game harder. That's just making it annoying, you know, and like Scott, when you say that they're concerned about fun, I mean, they had to look at that and immediately say, has anybody ever had fun farming shards for their warlock?
No.
Has anybody ever been like, man, I'm so happy to be doing this right now.
Yeah.
I do not want to be in that raid. I want them to be waiting for me while I do this.
Yeah.
No one's ever had fun doing that. And if you're not having fun doing something in this game, people are going to leave. So.
Sure. Sure.
If you have totally had fun farming shards, send an email the instance at gmail.com.
I would love to hear this.
I want to hear the stories. I reckon there's someone like, guys, I was out farming shards, and I happened across two Blood Elf females making out.
Well, see, then he wasn't having fun with the shards anymore.
No.
That was a different kind of
pure
fun.
Happenstance.
Then they changed the class mechanics, and I've never seen two Blood Elf
single and lonely.
Brilliant.
You know, I gotta say, I mean, thank God they took away the things like ammo and stuff, because the hunt hard word has slowly started to fall out of the lexicon. I don't know if you've noticed that.
I have noticed this. Yeah.
You don't hear it as much anymore now, because we don't run out of arrows and we don't break our guns.
You can't equip normal weapons.
Yeah.
So there's no longer the whole hunter weapon argument.
Yeah. We're not stealing your weapons anymore.
Yeah, sometimes your pet's still got growl on, but that we're working on that. That's still a thing we're working on.
But it doesn't work on bosses anymore, Scott, so it doesn't even matter.
That's true. Growl's useless on bosses.
It's great. Yeah, I love it.
And heroics, though, you're still an idiot if you're using that.
Yeah, that's all right. Whatever.
But
I will never see those people again.
I didn't even know we'd have this conversation, but I think it's an interesting one, and I think that it just is. It's always good to kind of look at why this stuff works. I think there are enough annoying things inherent to MMOs, like just built into them, that's annoying, that they have to work real hard to eliminate the ones that are overtly annoying.
Sort of optional annoyances.
Right.
Do you ever annoying. Like play a new game, like you just fire up a new RPG or something, and as soon as you start learning maybe the crafting system or something like that, you immediately go, well, they're just doing this just to have another thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason for this. You know, like that happens in so many games. And Blizzard has had this game long enough, they've gone, well, what are the things that don't need to be there? Well, just pull them out, you know, just strip them out. We don't need them.
Be willing to chuck stuff. That's the trick. That's the fourth rule. I forgot the fourth rule. That's the fourth rule of being Blizzard right there. Throw things away if you don't need them. All right. Except people. Cool. Don't fire people.
Loves it.
Don't hoard.
Don't
hoard. Be hoard.
Oh, wait. Be hoard.
Wait. Be a hoard. Don't be a hoarder. I don't know.
Horde side?
Horde side.
All right.
Wow.
Thanks, Greg. let's get to the new. Oh, I was going to mention this real quick. So 5.2 hit. I've been doing the dailies in the new Thunder joint. It's a lot of dailies there.
I like your quote there, Scott. I'm just read the notes. It's like, whoa.
Yeah. It's
there are a bunch.
There are so many freaking new dailies there that it's a tad, at least at first, a little overwhelming to get those initials done. And there are so many people there, so you're fighting for tags and stuff like that, as always. All those things are still annoying, I should mention. And just a comment to throw at the direction of people who maybe picked up Sin City. In a way, I wish it was Sin City.
Get that game.
Amazing.
Can't seem to build a red light district, which is unfortunate. But anyway, that game came out. I picked it up. A whole bunch of people picked it up. And the internet is full of vitriol and hatred toward EA for what they are calling a complete fail out of the gate. It's an online all the time.
Lowest rated product on Amazon ever.
Yeah, they actually pulled the product. They actually pulled the product from there. The sad thing is there's actually a pretty damn good game underneath all this, but so many technical issues and problems.
And
people,
I just add some salt to the wound there, Scott. It launched today in the UK.
Yeah.
No problems at all.
Oh, my gosh.
So, thank you for being our beta. You're the best beta in the world, America. Thank you.
Yep.
We appreciate, but we don't. But thanks.
England was the US's beta. So
yeah, well, think about that.
You could look at it sort of like we were the alpha, and then you're the beta now.
So we're just waiting for the real release of whatever that would be.
Okay. We're going to go gold soon.
Yeah. Things like Australia and India were like patches for them. Exactly. They didn't really work out. They were expansions. Yeah. Sorry, expansions. That's the more proper way. But
no. Gotta be willing to check stuff. You know what I mean? Just ask Blizzard.
Of course. Rule four.
Every now and then, and then we end up giving it all back in the end. We're just like, nah, I'm done. That's all right. No, you can have it again. That's fine. It was fun while it lasted, we thought. But now we've got to focus on the important stuff.
Of course.
Great Brit.
Anyway, it's really good. There was a lot of problems. The reason I bring it up is a lot of people compared this launch to Diablo 3's and Air 37 and, not being able to play it for the first couple days, really. And I'm sure this will all even out. I do want to mention one thing that was a very clear difference between the two experiences. I mean, both suffered from this new, brave new world of online all the time, DRM-based notion of how games are going to be played in the future, blah, blah, blah. But what was different in these cases, EA had a terrible, tepid, late, and even more delayed response to the whole issue. Essentially telling people they were smoking crack and to hang in there. It's only $60. Just chill out. It's only $60 is basically the message they were.
Oh, only 60, huh?
Yeah. It was a real, I think, a customer poopah. And where I never felt that from Blizzard. Blizzard was upfront right away about what they were doing, how they were going to do it, acknowledging the issues, sharing plans publicly as to how they were going to fix those issues. And within a couple of days, they did. And yeah. I'm sure the same kind of time frame applies to this SimCity mess. It's just, they sucked at talking to us. They were real bad.
They gotta be nice, at least. People are frustrated. The last thing they want to hear is that they're wrong to feel frustrated. Right. They want to feel at least like they're justified in how they feel at that moment.
Right.
And that's customer service 101, is to align yourself with the customer right away.
Yep.
And say, oh my God, I totally understand.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry about this. Well, let's try to fix it.
And not just treat the $60 purchase as a given, like, oh, you're all going to buy this anyway, so just relax. Like that is a terrible attitude to have.
Snap. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't love that.
It's a good game, though.
Tell me about, it is good. Tell me about Russell Brower and the BAFTAs and all that. Oh, you look like James Bond all dressed up the other day. What was that about?
I did. I got all spruced up. So basically, I got phoned up. Russell was in town, or at least, in my country.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay.
You have like an alert system?
I have a Brower alert system. I got a Brower Border Patrol. Yeah, it's the uh-huh. So
and for those who forget, Russell Brower, Lord of all music at Blizzard, just to clarify, he's been on the show a bunch of times, but if you're a new listener to the show, that's who he's talking about.
So basically I get phoned up by a friend who says Russell's there, and he was with Russell, and so I spoke to him. And they're going to the BAFTAs because basically Diablo 3 was up for best musical score.
Yeah.
And also Diablo 3 was up for best strategy because they don't have an RPG section at the BAFTAs.
What?
So,
why?
Yeah.
Why it's, not? I, that's a I, huge
I, I
genre.
I know. And that's a ridiculous thing. Anyway, so then I called in some favors. I bought myself a lovely tuxedo, hopped on a train. Next thing I know, I'm at the BAFTAs. I'm sipping champagne with the man himself. We had a lovely sort of like, everyone was there. I was, Gaben was there, Gabe Newell. And he said to me, get away.
Get away from please, me. Please yeah. remove him
back
from the room.
Away from my person. And so that was really cool. So unfortunately, Diablo 3 didn't win. Journey did.
Journey soundtrack is amazing.
Yeah, and Journey won everything, really, in all fairness. Mm-hmm. So I like to think that Diablo 3 probably came second.
Yeah, probably.
So that was cool. It was great. It was great fun. And it was really nice to see him. And then this Monday, I'm going back to London, okay, going to Kentish Town for a Barcraft event, which they're running alongside the launch of StarCraft II Heartless Swarm.
Ah, fantastic. So you can meet some people.
Go along there, and there's going to be, I think there's going to be about 350 people, spaces, 300, I don't know. So loads of, you know, people watching the UK finals for Heartless Swarm.
Yeah.
And getting it. And so that's on Monday. So if you're in London and if you're going, keep an eye out for me and say hello. That'd be lovely. I also have got through the post today my Heart of Swarm Collector's Edition.
Oh, you're a bastard.
So I'm now in that horrible scenario, though. I have a Blu-ray with all the cinematics on, so I could find it all out.
Yeah.
But I don't want to because I want to play it, but I can't play it till 11 p.m. on Monday.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't. A lot of people are getting their collector's editions now, so you're not the only one I've heard from, but they can't play until Monday. So
that's a problem. Yeah. That's a problem. Can't play it, but I could, like I said, I could watch all the cinematics because they're going to be so good. To be honest with you, I am just excited about the single player. I just want more of the story. I want to know what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to know how it goes. Having played the single player a lot at BlizzCon, you know, I love Kerrigan. They've got the world's greatest artist working on creating the perfect buttocks.
Yeah.
In any game,
I've never seen a better ass in a video game.
There is no better behind in a game or in reality. It literally. I like to think that it must have cost tens of millions of dollars just for probably per cheek. And I would like.
They had to do butt research,
right?
You know,
R&D.
There's a guy at Blizzard, and his title is, you know, butt.
Yes, it's a TNA R&D department.
Exactly. Yeah. And I would just love that. And they've just got, you go in there, there's just pornography all over the walls. He's just like, no, it's research. And you're just like, man, you have the dream job. I thought I had a good job, but you have
the best job ever. One quick question about Kentish Town.
Mm-hmm.
Is there one called Kent, and this is just kind of sort of like Kent?
Like Ken, it's Kentish.
Okay, mm-hmm. What a stupid name! All right, fantastic.
It is, yeah.
all right, well, look for Terpster in London. Watch for that Monday night, and that'll be. It's always Terpster always shows up for these cool events, so it'll be fun. What else is going on? You'll be in the States next week. We don't have to talk about that though.
No.
But so don't look for him. He's not in the States. Don't worry about
him. Yeah.
Don't worry
if
about
you
him,
have your more. You're the T alert, similar to his Brower alert.
So Dills, I know you haven't been playing a lot of WoW, or you haven't had a ton of time, but I know you've been playing a lot of pool and snooker, and I know this has nothing to do with video games, but I am fascinated by your journey into the world of, like, freaking proper snooker play. I don't even know what I'm saying when I say the word snooker. I think it's like...
Snooker!
It's like...
It's not snooker, it's snooker.
Okay, snooker. It's like what's that weird baseball thing you guys have in Britain? Cricket? Rounders. It's like cricket for pool. Okay.
Well, cricket is... Yeah, rounders is actually like baseball. Cricket
and
is...
Snooker is like, you know, it's like billiards, which is like the granddaddy of them all.
Yeah. So you've been doing a little of both. I'm dying to know, first of all, why, and then also how's that going for you? What are you doing there?
Well... So I don't know, like, if you guys – I told you, Scott. So the reason I missed the show 2 weeks ago is we lost an engineer at my work.
Yeah.
So we've been spending a lot of time there.
Yeah.
And we have a pool table there, and we play a lot of pool. And I started – and I watch a lot of pool videos on YouTube when I'm at work.
Okay.
Because
– This is so you, by the way. This is what he does. This is why his DPS is so badass, you guys. It's because now he's theory crafting snooker. I promise you that's what's happening.
Yeah, for sure. But the thing is, watching a pool, like a professional pool game, is very relaxing though. Like it doesn't pull my attention away. Anyway, so it just it lets me like work, and I can just look over every now and then and see, oh, good shot, whatever. All right. But it also kind of trains you as you're watching it. So then I started running out of pool videos, and I started watching snooker videos, and. Especially recently, they had the World Championships last year. It was Ronnie O'Sullivan who won, who's like, you know, Like he's outside of maybe Steven Hendry, he's one of the better players ever.
Yeah.
And so I started, you know, watching a lot of these videos, and so I convinced my boss to let us order some snooker balls to play on the pool table, just to kind of like get a taste for it. But then playing it on the pool table is really unsatisfying. As to anybody who knows about snooker, you're going to say that sounds stupid, because it is stupid.
Well, the name is stupid on its own. By the way, the name is real dumb. But
what, snooker?
Yeah,
no,
it's a stupid name.
No.
Think about it.
It's perfect.
It's what you name your cat or something. It's not a...
Come here, snooker.
Yeah. That's a terrible name.
But anyway. So a real snooker table is 12 feet long, 6 feet wide. And if you see one in real life...
Okay.
Yeah, if you see one in real life, you're going to say, like, well, this can't fit in my garage.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's just no way. The pockets are tiny, the balls are tiny, and they round the edges... and the pockets instead of have them straight. So balls tend to bounce around and come out. So it's really, if you're a pool player and you think you're pretty hot stuff,
yeah,
this will frustrate you in a hurry playing snooker. Mm. So mm. I think
you should come over here though, Dills, and you can be like a hustler, because I won't be like, oh, he's American. This isn't like pool. Okay. So,
yeah.
And then you're like, okay. And then you play the first one and you just play really badly. And then like, well, do you want to play for money? And you're like, okay. And then boom.
And then all of a sudden I'm just red, black.
So only you're still
147. What's the highest?
147 is the maximum break. Yeah.
But you're still smacking balls with a stick to go in holes. Yeah.
Sure. But it's a very different game. There's colored balls, and then and that's not racist.
No.
There's colored balls and there's red balls. This is the real term.
All right.
And basically they're worth different amounts of points. The black ball being the highest at 7 points.
Yeah.
And the red balls are worth 1 point. So the whole point of the game is you have to make a red ball, then you have to make a colored ball, then a red ball, then a colored ball. And you try to do that back and forth to make the highest break you can, they call it. So a break is in one turn, one inning, how many points you scored. And so the highest you can do is 147 points. The highest I've gotten on a real snooker table is about 25 or so. Mm. And that was like an amazing run of balls for me. That was... ridiculous.
Amazing run of balls.
Amazing run of balls.
Look, we are so 12 years old.
Yeah. It's pools, all right? This stuff.
I'm like 13 forever here. I can't help it.
Yeah, it's all right.
No.
Yes, yeah, it's got the tiny balls, you know, and the tiny holes. It makes
right.
Totally.
I know, right? I know. Well, okay. It sounds like fun. I just, the whole idea of this is just what you do. It's like you are with golf, the way you are with honestly, with WoW. I just love finding, I love whatever Dill's new. Not addiction, but like you'll find a thing and you will hard focus.
Oh, yeah.
And I love watching that.
I found there's no places in America that have snooker tables. It's what? Not.
Dills, or Terpster, look, we don't, you and your stuff over there, we're slow to embrace it.
But right. You know what, America, I'm sorry, you got this one wrong, guys. We should all be playing snooker. The fact that every bar has a pool table is just, it's a monument to our laziness. We're like, nah. We don't want the hard game. Like, let's make the pool tables really small too.
Right.
Let's make them tiny, and then let's all play eight ball, which is the easiest pool game there is. And then that way we can just get super wasted, and it's no problem.
Right.
But yeah, if you go play, my goal right now, really, I don't consider that I'll ever be a good enough snooker player to do anything with it. But my goal is to get good enough at that game that every other game is easy.
Oh, basically. I see. Like, man, like running in the sand, you're going to breeze past everybody.
Yeah. Make his own face on like
weighted
nine
clothing. I like it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Well, dude, I think it's cool. So keep us abreast, won't you?
If oh, yeah.
This goes.
Sure.
I threw a breast in there.
I will be Instagramming it and Twittering about it and all that kind of stuff.
Fantastic. So. All right. Well, we do have news today. Not a ton, but a little. Let's get into it.
Big news of the week.
Big news.
The Throne of Thunder raid schedule released, brought to you by Typefrag, the best Ventrilo service in the world. You want to have a big guild conversation? You want to have your raid team all on tap and saying stuff and going, get out of the poop, GURP, and stuff like that? Well, get a Typefrag server and get it today. That's typefrag.com and tell them we sent you. All right, Throne of Thunder raid schedule's out right after patch 5.2, the Thunder King patch. The vast Throne of Thunder raid will become available. As in previous raid tiers, raid finder wings and availability difficulties will be staggered. So you need to be a minimum item level, and many of you already know this, but of 480, that's the only way you get in. This is the current schedule. March 5th, which already passed, opened normal Throne of Thunder. So that is up and going. People are running that. I don't know who World's First went to or anything yet. I haven't paid attention.
Me. Was it you? Yeah.
Fantastic. I'm more excited about this raid than I have been in a long time. So I'm excited for us to get in there. We have not.
Dinosaurs! Set foot.
Yeah, dinosaurs are cool. And the way Greg described it last week, hearing all these new assets being in there and like all this new content that they didn't recycle out of other encounters, that's exciting to me. Let's see. March 12th, you get Heroic Throne of Thunder and LFR Wing 1. So no LFR until the 12th. And no, of course, no Heroic till then. March 19th, LFR Wing 2, The Forgotten Depths opens. And April 2nd, you get LFR Wing 3. And then the 16th, you get, this is April, you get Wing 4, Pinnacle of Storms. So they're chunking it out in, let's see, is it 4 pieces for LFR? Yeah. Yeah, 4 total pieces. And it sounds like an awesome encounter, and I can't wait to get in there. So pretty excited. But this makes me want to just mention the effect of the nerf, or is it a buff? I forget. Whichever way it went, either players got a buff or the raid got a nerf for current 5.1 content. And so we're in there doing Mogushan the other night, and holy crap, is that 10% noticeable? They're always a little noticeable. Like Dills, when we were running through ICC, you always felt that weekly increase, you know, in damage or whatever. It was noticeable, but not to this level. Like, it is just, we were struggling the week before.
It was 5% at a time, right?
Right.
So it's a smaller increment, and it was 5% to you, which is actually a lot different from 10% away from the creatures, the mobs.
Correct,
right?
Correct. Big difference.
It scales a little bit differently, and it's going to it's going to be obviously noticeable right off the bat with 10%. That's a huge buff or debuff.
Yeah. I mean, we were a mess. We were in a fight where nobody was doing their stuff they were supposed to be doing. The tanks were totally tanking, if you know what I'm saying.
Phoning it in.
Yeah, they were phoning it in. They were off. They're just kind of off their rhythm, and it was no big deal.
Nothing going right.
And yet we still totally, not only did we beat it, and not only did nobody die during the, I can't remember which encounter it was, but it was kind of a hairy one. And to top that all off, we beat our best time.
Of course you did.
And so I was like, holy crap, we would have died last week, the week before. There was no making it through. So since this is different this time, where this is a flat buff / nerf that is in place and done, and that's all you're going to ever have in there. There is no incremental drop.
Well, there may be more at some point. We don't know.
Well, they've kind of hinted that this is it, like a one-timer.
Yeah. I don't think they need it, really.
Right.
Yeah.
I definitely don't think they need to do it again. I mean, it just feels too easy now.
But we could get to, you know, five expansions away, and they do the whole thing where they nerf everything to make it soloable for everybody type of thing.
We still struggled on the ding-along, what's his name, dragon guy.
Oh, really?
We cleared up to him and wiped on him maybe, I don't know, 5 times or something. Because there's some stuff in there. There's some tricky mechanics
in there. Exactly. That's where you always get unstuck.
Yeah.
Is when it's not a case of just, you know, outlasting the damage.
Yeah.
Or killing it faster. It's when you actually mechanically have to, you know, jump and click something.
So late raiders to the game are going to they're going to kind of treat this stuff like LFR a little bit now, I think, when they come in for the first time, and there's going to be less strategy.
Mm-hmm.
You'll probably have a lot of websites start saying strategy is this is the strategy guide. New strategy, burn
them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still a little bit of mechanical crap to worry about, but the dogs are just freaking dumb simple when we got in there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they didn't have chains that night, so maybe it would have been a little harder. We'd have that to worry about. But
even still, like, if the damage is low enough that they're putting out, you know, your healers can just kind of handle it. It's not a big deal. Even if you do the mechanics wrong, your healers can suddenly deal with that damage.
Chat room, I know it's not Ding-Along the Epic Dragon, but I can't remember the name of the What's his name?
It should be.
Argalon? Galgalon?
That should be the name of the show, at least. Ding-Along.
Ding-Along.
Calculon? I don't know. Elegon, thank you. Calculon. anyway, so that's going on. Here's a funny little tidbit I found on the forums. The official forums posted by a blue / follow command has now been disabled in Battlegrounds.
Yeah.
So here's a weird thing 8 years later.
To get rid of botting, really.
I wanted to bring this up because you come from a pretty heavy PvP background. Why now, and also why in the first place would you remove /follow in a battleground?
slash follow. It, you don't honestly, if you're slash following in a battleground, we should be kicking you. Like, you should not be here.
Yeah.
People use it to, well, first of all, they use it for like simple botting programs, like just basically, I don't know how to really make a good botting program, so I'm just going to cheat and use slash follow, and I better hope I glob onto somebody at some point.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, there's the guys who try to, like, hide in the corner and then set themselves on auto run, and then eventually somebody notices their dot's not moving on the mini-map, and they kick them out, you know?
And they're just, so what, are they just farming off the currency they would get from kills and stuff?
Yeah, trying to bot and get a character in there and farm a boner real quick, mm-hmm. Which is lame, and it doesn't help anybody, and nobody has fun when people are doing that. So
right.
Anything they can do to make that stop happening is great. So this is just one little step to kind of make. Now that you can still write some botting programs that will work still. They're a little more complicated when you take this command out. And this isn't gonna affect people who multibox or anything like that, because they don't use slash follow. They actually bind all the characters to the same keys. So
right. That
it's not going to change anything for anybody who's using it for the right reasons. But if you're slash following in a battleground, seriously, come on.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a reason I would even need it.
Like, I mean, you could do it. I have done it previously, like when I'm riding out in Alterac.
Yeah, like the beginning of AV like and stuff. Yeah, maybe you just pick a friend and take me to the general.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just go where this guy's going, because that way at least there's two of us there. Yeah,
even then, I would have terrible success with that, because somebody would run over a log, I'd get snagged, and that was it.
Well, that's the problem, yeah. Yeah.
So I can't remember the last time I slash followed anyone for anything. It's been ages, years.
It happens periodically. Maybe it only actually happens when I know I'm going AFK, and I just say, "Hey guys, I'm going to go AFK real quick. Just keep on going. I'll slash follow somebody."
Yeah,
that type of thing. But that doesn't happen that often.
Is this the PvP team's way of saying this is why we can't have nice things? Is that kind of what they're doing?
Well,
here?
They made it. This is not the only change they made, actually. We should talk about this other one.
Yeah, what else jumps out at you?
There's a hullabaloo about this one. So they have this listed in the 5.2 patch notes. Basically, what it says is that in battlegrounds, like leveling battlegrounds, lower level battlegrounds, what they're trying to do is even things out for lower level players in that bracket, right?
Yeah.
So basically what they did was they took the player's base stats and spells and they scaled them according to the highest level in that battleground. So if you're level 11 and you're in the, 11 through 15 or whatever, or 11 through 14, something like that. I don't know exactly. 10 through 14?
Whatever it is.
Anyway, you'd get scaled up to level 14, right?
Yeah.
So you would be, you would have the health and the base stats of a level 14. The problem is they only scaled the base stats and the health. They didn't scale all the other stuff, which is like hit, say. So hit's a big deal, especially when you get up to some of the things like 70 to 74, you know, and 75 to 79. Suddenly hit is actually a big deal at that point. And so when they move these players up, they actually lowered their chance to hit by quite a bit. So some people, especially spellcasters, are just missing like crazy. The other thing, too, is the gear doesn't scale unless it's heirloom gear. So as you level, the stats that are on that lower gear are actually even worse for you than they would be at your current level.
Oh, right? So you only scale. All right, I get it. You're only scaling your level, but not your stuff.
Yeah, gear doesn't scale. Your secondary stats don't scale. Just your base stats. It's basically they just screwed the pooch on it. They didn't figure out the correct way to do it. Mm. Ghostcrawler has already actually come out on Twitter and said, "Yeah, that's a bug. We're gonna hot."
Oh, okay, so not bad design, just a bug.
They just missed it basically.
Mm.
When they were thinking of how to do this and what they were trying to do, what they were trying to do was I think a good idea, which is make it so that when I come in, when I'm leveling, I can queue for BGs without basically gimping my group and also me having a big problem with doing anything once I get in there, right? Yeah. So now it's like, oh, they're not, people are going to go like, oh, come on, you guys, level 10. Like, don't come in here until you're 14, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But they just didn't do it right. So just missed a couple of key features that they didn't, I don't think they thought were going to make so much of a difference.
Yeah.
But so sign-wise, I think it's sign-wise or sin-wise.
Sin-wise. C-Y-N-wise, yeah.
Sinwise made a really good post on his blog about that. So yeah, just check
it
out.
Yeah, go check it out. Is it possible to actually kind of gauge the current temperature of PvP, non-arena PvP, or even arena PvP? Is it? I wonder if things are on the incline, the downcline. Like, is it not? The downcline is not a word. But is it a thing that people still stoked about PvP in any kind of, you know, measurable way, or is that just, isn't there no really way to know that? I don't know how you'd even tell.
I don't know how you'd measure it, really. I guess in terms of like tournaments and stuff like that, maybe, you know, it depends. Those players who maybe would have done that as their fix, are they all playing League of Legends now?
That would be
an interesting thing to see if the PvP has kept and captivated that audience. You've got to think that, you know, whenever I queue for a battleground, it never takes very long and it's always filled with people.
So are they all casual PvP players
like me? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think you'd have to look at, like, to really know, like, are the hardcore PvPers, have they gone down? Like, how much PvP gear, like current tier PvP gear, is out there right now compared to current tier PvP gear, say, last year?
Yeah.
And that would be like one of the better ways to kind of see. Because if there's not as many players decking themselves out in full PvP gear, then yeah, there is a decline.
A downcline. You can use downcline. I like
it. I'll steal that from you, Scott.
It sounds like a town in.
I think it's decline.
It's some suburb to London. Welcome to downcline, just right next to Kentish. Yeah.
That's good.
It's downcline-ish.
Right, downcline-ish. what else is going on? Oh, Terpstra love this. The reason for it, I think, is his shield, but heirloom shields in 5.2. Something happened. That didn't happen. They're not coming. People are ticked. Unfortunately, shields didn't make it into 5.2. This, according to a blue post. Again, this was due to a bug that was caught very late, and there was no time to fix it before launch of 5.2. So we had to make the hard choice of removing them for now. They should be back on in the next major patch, though, presumably 5.3. Where you'll get your heirloom shields that they promised originally for 5.2. Is that a problem for
anyone?
No.
Nope.
Just get Terpster's shield, you'd be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
When you it's the best shield at level 85 to 90. So
right.
That's the only bit that matters.
Everyone makes fun of me. I don't use heirlooms leveling, and I don't know why I don't.
Probably because you never purchased them.
I'm not driven to. I don't feel the need as much. I don't know. I guess maybe I would.
At this point, it doesn't really. You don't require that help anymore. Mm. You can still level so fast.
Yeah.
But if you can use a piece of heirloom gear on a couple of alts, the same piece, and it suddenly just is way valuable, and it's going to save you a ton of time. So
I could see that. I guess one of the things I'm running into is because I'm leveling, say, my lock right now, mostly in heroics, I'm actually enjoying the fact that the drops in there are very beneficial for me.
Sure, like, yeah. That's one problem, too, is that when you get the bat, you open up your bag, you get your little treasure, and you go, oh, shoulders, man.
Yeah.
I got the heirloom shoulders, you know, and you can't use them.
Yeah,
but
it just eliminates some of the fun of finding loot.
But say, like, the cloth heirloom gear. I can go level my mage, my warlock, my priest, all with the same stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And that's pretty good. So then, like, the leather gear, I've got my my monk, my rogue, and my druid all rocking that stuff. So there's definitely value in the heirloom pieces. But I think if you can double the value, triple the value, suddenly it's just you can't not get it.
I didn't mean to bring this up, but you just reminded me, so I'm going to ask the question. So here we are this many months after release of Mists of Pandaria. Big successful launch. Everyone's happy. A boost in numbers, and with the typical drop in numbers that always comes after it, it wasn't as big as the one with Cataclysm. So lots of positive vibes. People are digging the content. The end game's great. Story's awesome. MOP was a success, in my opinion. How are we feeling about, because we had the same kind of conversation way back in the day on the show when Death Knights had some time to sink in. How are we feeling about the monk class, and did it deliver on whatever promises it may have made? And is it still a compelling thing for us to pick up and alter around with and, you know, build characters based on this new class? You would say yes. Explain.
I'd say yes. Well, we have a monk in our raid team who pulls his weight, and so like they work at level cap.
Yeah.
Which I think is a big, they don't feel overpowered necessarily, and they don't feel underpowered. either. They just kind of, and there's been some changes obviously with 5.2, but the leveling experience I thought was extremely fun. It's the fact that I could get around really quickly. I have a lot of ways to do that. I can level as a healer or as DPS or as tank. I really like that. And I think that all three trees seem to be okay for leveling. I think there's a little bit of an imbalance where leveling as a tank is kind of way easier than the other two. But, you know, I chose the other path. I didn't use the tank spec as much. But I think they've done a pretty good job. I think they learned a lot of things from the Death Knight that were able to make this new class have a smoother transition into the general population than, say, the Death Knight, which was completely overpowered for a really long time, then got, like, nerfed to all hell, and then now they finally buffed it back again, and we'll see if a Death Knight is where it's supposed to be, but doesn't seem to have been so much up and down with the monk so far.
Torps, do you have any feelings about the monk and this
much
down the road?
They're fun. They're cool. I don't play one. I've got one, like a low level, like level 40 alt. But I wouldn't say, yeah, I mean, I'm not a Death Knight player either. But they've got a place in World of Warcraft, certainly. And I play with them and they do their roles very well.
Yeah. But so, do you feel like those, because you're not playing those two, is there something inherently different about those particular classes that they're later in the game or?
No, I just think for me, they're, I'm happy with what I got. Mm. You know, I like my shaman. I like my warrior. I like my paladin. I like my warlock. You know, I just like those. Those are the ones I enjoy playing the most. And I don't know if it's just, you know, maybe if I invested more time into the monk, maybe I would, you know, enjoy it more. I think it's very cool. But for me, it's just not. It just doesn't gel with me, I guess.
Maybe you're getting old. You don't like new stuff.
Maybe. Maybe that's it. I hate change.
I got, this reminds me of something. I got an email regarding the instance from Apple. So I have a rep there who sent me an email and said, hey, for the podcast, we're upping the resolution of all our album art to old standard.
1400 by 1400.
Yeah, and the original standard was like 300 by 300.
Then yeah, but you know what, though?
What?
This isn't required.
No, it's not. And it's a lot of people don't even know what they're saying.
Only to be featured, you have to have this before they will feature your show, so because they want the ability to make it a big size and have it look good.
Sure.
Right? So they don't want to have a 300 by 300 image and then blow it up and get it all pixelated and then put it on the front page.
Exactly. And they're trying to be more Retina friendly more and more. It's not just going to be Apple with Retina notebooks. It's going to be everybody soon. And you may as well start having resolutions that make sense in that arena, and everyone has to up their game. But it's just funny that my reaction to this was kind of like an old man reaction. And I kind of had to slap myself because I read it and went, 1400 by 1400. Well, back in my day, it was 600 pixels wide. What the hell's going? Like, I started having like those get off my lawn feelings. And I had to just remind myself, no, you cannot start going down that path. This is not going to be the gateway drug
There's
to worse.
No turn from that, Scott.
No.
Yeah.
Once
you're an old man, it's like next thing you know, your pants are real high, like past your belly button. And you're just Clint Eastwood with a shotgun telling everyone to get the hell off your lawn. And don't want to go there, man.
Maybe I'd watch it. Maybe I'd be all right with that. Maybe I'd be all right.
Suddenly you're hanging out with a lot of Asian people from the neighborhood. It just happens.
Not just my family anymore.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Tuesday. Big day for StarCraft 2 fans. We talked about it already. Terpsure will be at the launch event in London and so on. I'm pretty stoked about it. I just wanted to mention...
I'm really worried, though, Scott. Because obviously, and this is very tasteless, but I'm going to say it anyway. There's obviously all this stuff going on in North Korea, and they're threatening it all. And literally, like, StarCraft, for me, one of the most famous things about it is the whole nuclear launch detected.
Yeah.
And I'm worried, like, you know, that's the sort of thing. Blizzard drops it, like, you know, nuclear launch detected, and it's like, boom, and it's at the start of a video. I'm really worried that, you know, you think, where's the most popular place for StarCraft? Korea.
South Korea, okay, yeah. South Korea. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, what better way to, you know, to nuke someone than on the day of StarCraft? It's a little bit scary.
It is a little scary. And something to mention here, too, So North Korea put out that propaganda video showing America being destroyed with We Are the World behind it.
We Are the World piano.
The best thing about that was those were not their special effects. They were lifting footage from
Independence Day.
No, it was actually, what was it from?
It would actually look a lot like that.
I think it was Warfare 3, I think, is what they stole from. So from a video game, which is prescient to my point.
An American video game.
Exactly. So what's to stop them from pulling some of this footage from Heart of the Swarm and using it in their next thing? So that'll be exciting.
Yeah, wow. Well, let's hope, obviously, that nothing horrible happens.
Yeah.
To anyone except the bad guys.
Yeah. Let's hope this is just Terpster's weird
North
dream.
North Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
North Korea is a weird place, and they terrify me. And
they
now
love Dennis Rodman.
They love the Rodman. Yeah. Those photos of him laughing it up with him, they're weird.
So weird. Yeah.
So weird.
That's, I just think that's kind of got to be. That's just weird. Like, there seems, I don't know why. It's just like, there's no reason for it. Yeah. It's not even like.
But you know
like,
what, though?
What?
What you saw publicly was nowhere near as weird as what happened once they got to, like, into their rooms by themselves with who, you know, like, surrounding themselves with. I mean, I don't know. Like, I can't even imagine what was going on behind closed doors between those.
It's an alien. It is like aliens. It's the strangest effing thing over there, up there, wherever they are.
It just doesn't even make sense, though, Scott. There's no reason behind it. It's just madness. It's like Team America had, you know, they did Team America 2 and had Jong-un and Dennis Rodman. I'd be like, well, that's just, you guys, you're just going stupidly crazy now. This would never happen.
Yeah.
It's mad.
Yeah.
It's not even a parody. It's just weird.
Yeah.
But no, apparently it does. So
there's basis in reality.
It's like, it's like
they were saying, like, you know, we're trying to shoot far. You shoot far. How do you shoot far? And he's like, well, normally I use a basketball. And so now they're making all these basketball shaped nukes. And they're going to get Rodman to try and alley oop them into South Korea.
See, if they got the wrong guy, then they should have got.
Exactly.
You know,
they should have got Jordan.
Point
Shaq.
Shooter.
Yeah. Shaq would have just been nailing them down there. But
Rodman
Shaq's
couldn't make
nice
a shot
guy.
To save his life.
Rodman sucks. He was never good at free throws.
They're on a limited budget, so they couldn't do too much.
Right. But it's like having, I don't know, like Rodman. Rodman's weird to take to anything.
This is like the realm of like if Jose Canseco went over there, you know what I mean? Or something.
Right.
Like just grab
What's the point?
Guy out of the history of basketball.
Yeah.
You know, what if Mike Morhaime turned around and said Dennis Rodman's going to be doing the closing show for BlizzCon 2020? That's equally as like everyone would be like, what?
That'd be really weird.
Hey, what? I don't know.
I don't think the world's ready for that.
I've still got my fingers crossed for Rush. I know that Morhaime's a massive Rush fan, and like he should be treating BlizzCon as just like his dream achiever. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I can have Rush play like a concert for me. Yeah, okay, cool. Let's bring Rush along.
Oh my
gosh. And everyone loves Rush. No one doesn't love Rush.
No, everyone loves Rush. Even though they're in their 60s, everyone loves them.
Oh, they should be up there.
Men don't like Rush.
Men don't like Rush? Wait a minute. Now, when I was in high school, I thought Exit Stage Left or Right or whatever it was one badass album. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah. Ask Kim what she thinks.
All right.
About Rush.
not a fan, probably.
It's just something about Rush. I don't know what it is, but for some reason, women just don't seem to like Rush. Mm. I don't know. I mean, that's a generalization. No.
What's
do some like female versions of their songs.
I'm sure there are women who like Rush. Okay, I'm just saying the in general, when you talk to a guy and a girl, like the guy will like them and the girl will be like, eh, okay.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that we'll get some emails. People will be like, I'm a huge Rush fan. I'm like, all right, well.
It's a cover, but
that would be good.
It's not exactly right.
I still think that would be good. If we had Tammy Sawyer, we should do a Rush song for ladies.
Okay.
Tammy Sawyer. Okay.
Tammy Sawyer. I reckon that would be one. You know, today's Tammy Sawyer
meme
bride.
You're making me have ideas. All right.
Her mind's not for rent. Don't put her down as arrogant. We just keep it. We just change it. That's brilliant. There we go. Tammy Sawyer. There we go. And they're going to close BlizzCon.
Nice.
There we go. You heard it here
all
first
right.
Because
prediction.
I've decided
there's
it should
prediction.
Happen.
Yeah, very nice job. Neil Peart will load his drum kit. He'll start now because it's so freaking huge.
He's got so many drums.
Yeah, it's huge. All right, let's get to some town crier here.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
Courtside.
Hey, it's Town Crier, everybody. Check it out. That's where we answer your phone calls and your emails. Brought to you today by DoghouseSystems.com. Doghouse Systems, you have a few days left to use the Kerrigan code on top of the Henry code to get a new system and be in the running to get the Kerrigan rifle replica by Chinbeard, a.k.a. Bill Duran. That thing's looking amazing, and I want one so bad I can barely stand it. That is Henry, and Henry gets you double the memory. Kerrigan gets you the rifle competition. Go there now, doghousesystems.com for more. And you know you want it. It's this coming Tuesday. That's your deadline. You can call us anytime. Leave us a message, 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462. Leave us a voicemail. Happy to play them. Or you can email us at theinstance@gmail.com. Here is call number one, remembering what you've done.
Hey, Scott, Dills and Terpster. This is Pandug from Storm Reaver. Of course, I play a panda monk. I'm curious if any of you guys out there are having the same issues that I am, which is kind of remembering which weekly bosses or rares you've downed so far. My 31-year-old brain just doesn't seem to be what it used to be. Did I do Shaw? Did I do Galleon this week? What about on my alts, my main? Yikes. Is there a better way to track this? I don't see anything in the standard UI, not much in mods. Maybe I'm just not looking in the right place. Just curious about your input. Thanks, guys. Love the show. Keep up the great work.
So the day is gone when you could say, did we take down the Lich King today? Yes, we did. It's different now. There's so much stuff to keep track of. World bosses, actual bosses, heroic stuff, trying to hit certain caps and buy your gear, meet up with what's-their-names to do 10-man this and 5-man that and 25-man the other thing. Like, it's a lot of jumping around. And then you're going to go do this stuff on your alts. Like, there's guys like Dark Anders, and I can't think of all on our team, Manny. These guys have more alts than even use Dills, and you have plenty of them.
Sure.
And they I don't know how they keep track of any of it. So I don't know if there's any mods out there or if there's a better. I don't think it's his 31-year-old brain. I think it's an 8-year-old game with tons of complexity. That's what I think.
Yeah. I don't, you know, I wish I'd known about this question before, what exactly it was. I'd heard it because I'm sure there's a mod that does this. Chat room, is there? Could someone please tell us there's an add-on that manages all the things that you've done for the week?
A pad of paper and a pen.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's I need someone to code it up for me.
Maybe a post-it note on the screen. That could be fun.
Let's put Shadowhawk in the chat room.
Elaborate series of colored dots. Each dot represents a different boss, and you place one on your collectible Warcraft Raider Weekly.
Nope, here we go. Guide. Here we go. You got a serious answer.
Oh, really?
World boss status and Altaholic.
Okay. There you go. I didn't know Altaholic. I knew of Altaholic, but I didn't realize that track for those sort of things.
I used to have it, but I got rid of it when I switched all my stuff over to Windows. I just kind of grabbed like a bunch of different. I got rid of a whole bunch of things and got some new different ones. So maybe I'll have to pick that up again, see how it's working these days. But right. Thank you, chat room.
Yeah,
good job.
We knew you guys would know. And if anyone else out there knows a good one, you can email us and tell us about it. We'll bring it up on the show. Seemed like a good question indeed. Got another one here about the refuting the idea that Paladins got nothing new with this patch, which we talked about last week a little bit. Here's that.
Hey, guys. You guys had a call on Retribution Paladins not getting any upgrade or damage increase in 5.2. That is actually not true. Just because it's not in the Retribution Paladin section, what they're doing is increasing the amount of targets that AoE does from 10 to 20.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah.
Disappointing, though. Because I guess the guy's point last week wasn't, you know, he meant like everyone else is getting some sweeping cool stuff.
Yeah,
jumping your AOE damage from 10 to 20 is cool,
that's not a buff to Pallies. That's a buff to everybody. So that's you can't say like, oh, Paladins are getting this buff. No, everyone's getting the buff. So
everyone gets that buff. I didn't realize that was a.
Everybody gets that.
That's a
just a
thing.
General now instead of, because it was that it maxed out at 10. Now AoE damage maxes out at 20. And basically once you got over 20 targets, you still would do the amount you would do to 20 targets. But now it's 25 and they actually just spread that around to the 25 targets, the amount you would do to 20, right?
Oh, okay.
Currently it's, so like, you know, when we pull all those dogs at the very beginning of the raid.
Yeah. That's the only time I ever top out on DPS when you're not there.
More than 10 of those, right? So the way it currently was working is after you had more than 10 targets, you were basically doing the same amount of damage that you would to 10 targets, but to whatever, spread it out. So each one got a little bit less.
Right.
Now they've raised that to 20. It's for everybody. So it's not, sure, it might increase Rhett Pally's AoE stuff, but when you're talking single target, you're not getting any buff at all. And in almost any boss fight, I don't know of very many at all where there are more than 20 targets come out. or more than 10 targets come out that you have to AoE down. Yeah. It's very rare.
Yeah. So I'm just saying there's the excitement factor isn't there.
It's, yeah, it's but you useful. Know what? They didn't need it's, a buff, man.
Yeah. We're doing fine. Three pallies.
Sorry.
Yeah. F paladins. They don't know what's going on. All right.
Let's just get to, I like paladins.
A couple emails. McSeevil on the Twisting Nether Road end says, hello. I was wondering how you make so much gold. I recall you saying at one time you had 300,000 gold. Always Ooh, remember, yeah. It takes a big dog to weigh a ton or two small ones. I don't know what that means.
That sounds like a threat.
Something
sounds
like that.
You know, yeah. Just remember, okay, that this is a thing. Mm. I have no idea.
I don't know what about. It is either. Terpster, how do you earn the gold you earn?
How do I earn so money? Yeah. I rock up to people and say, hello, I'm Terpster from the Instance. I would like some gold, please. Uh-huh. I will say your name on the Instance. And that reminds me, Knight Factor, you are a winner. Okay. And big shout out to Billy G, who gave me 20 G. So, yeah, that's good stuff.
Wow.
Well done.
These aren't real people, are they?
This no, is fake. They're not real people, yeah. Scott. Yeah.
I didn't think
this
so.
Is never
if you happened. Listen, there's a slight pause before I say their names as I conjure their names in my head.
Pretty good. Billy G.
The best way to make money is always the auction house, but the hardest way to make money is the auction house.
Yeah.
So, if you want to make big money, big dollar, then you need to get on the auction house and play it like a stock market. Find stuff that's listed low, buy it. Corner markets, there's like a billion blogs out there that you can read to tell you, just like you can buy books on it. I'm sure you can buy books on how to make money normally, and making WoW money is the same thing. Otherwise, easiest way for people like me is just to do dailies, do quests, grinding stuff. You get these greys now in mists that are worth 10 gold, 20 gold, 50 gold. And they're sort of, slightly rare render trash items. So depending on what you want, you can, farm away and just play the game. But ultimately, the auction house is where it's at.
Yeah. I feel like you can do a lot for your own repairs, stat food and things like that by just simply playing the game and getting rewards in the game. You may not be loaded, but it's not that hard to do anymore. I've got just lots of reserves that I've collected over the years because I really don't spend very much money on the auction house. So it's all sort of just there, and I pay for repair costs, sometimes food, sometimes flasks, but that's really about it. And the reason for that is we have a guild where everybody's making something. So nobody's really charging. I mean, yes, there some people do.
Mates rates.
Yeah. Like, Matt's going to make my gems because he just does that for me. And I get them, and it's great, and it's just an awesome guild perk to have friends in there who are willing to make this stuff and cover the mat costs and everything else and just do it for each other because it all sort of – everyone gets paid forward. Dills, do you do anything special to keep your cash high and your expenditures low?
Yeah, I take advantage of other people's kindness as well.
Yeah.
No, I don't do anything anymore. I was at one point trying to work the auction house a little bit. But I don't have the time, and I'm not willing to put forth the effort at this point in my life to figure it all out.
Snooker.
And it really does. Yeah, I got too much snooker to play, Scott.
Snooker. Sorry. Snooker.
Snooker, please. Yeah, not get
snooker.
It right.
Snooker it does, is a you know candy what, bar the, or something.
Terpster, like snooker will like roll off your tongue, right? But to an American, saying the snoo sound, the ooh sound, doesn't come up very
ooh.
Often.
American, you are, I guess.
Like you could say, Terpster drinks too much booze, and you would say booze. I would say buzz. He drinks too much buzz.
Too much buzz.
Buzz.
See, it only comes up in certain scenarios, though, and it doesn't. I don't know why, but snooker. Yeah, we look at that snooker. Word and we see snooker. Mm-hmm. That's what we see.
Snooker. That just sounds like something you would. Yeah, did you? Yeah, I snooked her. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Add that to your.
You all.
Add that to your shagging. Your shagging and your whatever else you got over there.
Yeah.
But back to this guy's question.
I guess
question.
You can snooker still.
Yeah, you can still snooker.
You can still snooker.
Yeah, or
yeah,
snooker.
So, but I was going to tell this guy there's a lot of resources out there to learn how to do this stuff if you want to get into it.
Yeah.
You can find plenty of information online about how to work the auction house, but it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to happen instantaneously. You have to have capital to start with. You have to corner the market on things. You have to do some kind of shady tactics, but... and you have to be willing to get on your mobile device from time to time to manage your stuff when you're not in front of the game. So but there's a lot of money that can be made. And I know 4 or 5 people who have been like gold capped at different points in their WoW careers, which to me is just crazy.
What is the cap? I don't even know.
It's millions. I don't know. Jeez. It's some crazy number.
Is that digit, you know, that max 32-bit integer.
Mm. Yeah. It's, but you could see like people screenshot it every time they do it. So, but yeah, it's basically one of those things where it's just takes some time.
I think it's 21474836 47.
That's sure. 2 million.
That's the maximum value that you can just. It's the maximum number that they can hold in a particular field. So they could. All they need to do is just make, you know, platinum, and then it's all of a sudden like, you know, oh, then you can have that many platinum. And so they just kept. They capped it there.
So, but so World of Warcraft encourages socialism then, capping what you are able to earn. And
what one character, the wealth of a single individual character. If you think an account can have 50 characters, so you're going to have 50 times that across the World of Warcraft. Mm-hmm. But there's no need. You don't need that much money. No one needs that much money. Mm.
It's really, you
know,
that's
you'd have to start like funding AIDS research and like, you know, be Bill Gates. Yeah, you know, that's the level of money that is in World of Warcraft.
Well, at least healthcare is free, which is having a priest with you.
You know, you put people in. Put people in homes, it'd be good.
All right, good stuff. Also, if you want to piss off your tank, what do they call that thing that priests do? I don't know the name of it, where they grab a dude and pull him.
Life grab?
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
If you want to piss off your main, have him fighting up in the fray and then yank him back to where all the DPS is for no reason. That's a way to piss off your tank. Just that'll throwing that out there.
Group, isn't it?
Not calling out names. Let me just say it was awesome. To see,
awesome something.
It was awesome, quote unquote, awesome to see it happen to such a tet semi nice guy. Mm-hmm. I did it. I didn't tell anyone what happened there. Yeah, I told them exactly what happened. All right, here's another email from Chris.
You gotta do though. I'm gonna give a little tip to this unknown priest. I'm gonna say next time, wait till the boss is doing a bunch of AOE damage that everyone's supposed to get away from, then yank the tank so that when the boss gets close to the tank, which is now by everybody else, everybody dies.
Yeah, you know the fight.
Yank the tank. You know, I like it.
That's like, what was the fight? What's the? It's like the third fight in, whatchamacallit?
In Vaults?
Yeah,
with,
and
you
get the debuff with the where you do a bunch of AOE damage.
Oh,
and I had it at the end of the fight.
Yes, that was the worst.
As soon as we killed the boss, I just ran into the group and killed everybody.
What fight is that? Which one is that? I can't think which one that is. Well, anyway, you're right. That was annoying. That was pretty fun because everybody was kneeled down checking
loot. Everyone was trying to loot the boss. Everybody immediately went to the boss to see what the loot was.
Dills comes in going, bzz, 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 and everybody took a dirt nap.
You could tell who the people who, you know, don't care about loot so much were because they were the ones who were still alive.
Yeah. This particular priest, by the way, I was talking about, has an awesome face.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want to say about him. Final email.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I know. It's a very inside Sin Raid team thing. I was talking with a buddy today about what is missing from gaming, says Chris. Chris says the biggest thing that games lack is a sense of reality. What do we want in games does not affect the world, or what we do in games does not affect the world. NPCs respawn. They are still fixing Stormwind, so on and so forth. We daydreamed of ideas for games that would make us feel like what you did mattered more. The discussion went to permadeath. Would you play on permadeath PvP servers in WoW? The idea of truly earning your levels and making it to 30, 40, 50, and 60 without dying would seem like a major accomplishment. Chris, but dying would seem like a major waste of time. And I know there are hardcore players out there that would do it. They do it in Diablo. They do it in all kinds of games that kind of have that roguelike appeal of you cannot continue after death. You start over every time you do it. And they all kind of have different ways of treating that, mostly by making it optional. But I can't imagine playing WoW to 40, 50, or 60 and know that my first death will be my last.
It sucks. Ugh, there's no point.
I couldn't do it.
It stopped me playing EVE. I played EVE and then permadeath. And I mean, it's one of those things, you know, the people who love EVE love it for that fact.
Yeah.
But it's always been that way. I think introducing that to a game doesn't really work. And obviously you can make new servers and make, you know, hardcore servers, but ultimately I don't think that there's that much value in it. They'd have to put in mechanics, because EVE works on the principle of like that you have clones which you can put in there and they will restore your character. You might lose your gear, but you'll still have your character with all its skills if you have the equivalent clone. But again, if you haven't done that, then you can basically just lose everything.
Yeah, just kiss your ass goodbye in that game.
And I don't think that's a very rewarding experience. It certainly changes the experience from being quite a kind of laid back, you know, just sort of grind along, do some quests, level up, to a constantly on edge, worrying like, oh nuts, I really shouldn't have pulled that extra mob. But I don't know. I personally wouldn't like it. Yeah, I wouldn't like
not
it,
my
Scott.
Style.
I don't like it.
I like roguelikes. I like something like FTL is a fantastic video game, and it's basically that. You die, you're done. But they do some things in that if you've like unlocked an extra ship during your run, your 2-hour run or whatever, and then you die, that ship is now available for your next mission if you want to use it. You're still starting from scratch, but some of those things will carry over. So, yes, could Blizzard do this in a way that made some things carry over? Like if you got to 20 on a hardcore character and died at 21, that you could start at 15 or something. Or, you know, that whatever they may be, there are ways to approach this perhaps. But progression is everything in MMOs. And it's the same reason I heard this argument on a few other podcasts, this idea that we all want a racing game that's super realistic. That's cool. But nobody wants a racing game where when you get a little bit of damage, your car drives like crap, like it would in real life. You want to still be able to stay in the race. Oh, my front quarter panel is ripped off and my hood's bent sideways and my back tire's all mushed up. That would make you undrivable in the real world, and it would be a pain and it would be arduous.
Yeah, your race would be over.
And not fun. That's not fun for people. So it's always been a balance of give them some things that are kind of realistic, even in a fantasy setting, something like, I don't know, Skyrim perhaps has a lot of that in there. But you can't do all of that or else you're going to take away the reason to play it, which is it's supposed to be fun. That's got to be the key thing here. So I think permadeath has its place, but just not in WoW.
I don't think anybody wants to play like a NASCAR game where they have to drive 500 laps every time they do a race. You know, like they don't want to do that.
And
you
can
say you
want
it realistic.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm going to sit down and play, but I got to, this is going to take 3 hours.
Terpster, NASCAR is a American sport that is.
Yeah. Involving cars and NAS.
Yeah.
And NAS. Lots of NAS. Yeah.
NAS. It's like NOS. It's like, you know, Nitros, but it's not.
Network attacks, you know, really attached server or something. I don't know.
Oh, it's a NAS drive. Oh, yeah. Awesome. It's environment got my torrent. So, I mean, it's legally downloaded programs on it.
But people watch it because they like to watch cars go fast. Nobody ever wants to see a crash.
No, ever.
They hate that.
They hate
that.
So. Right. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
So YouTube likes to see them.
I'd like to see it.
Yeah. Let's get to, where are we now? Oh, drop of the week.
The drop of the week.
So we have friends over there at WoW Insider. They do good work. Hell, even Terpster used to be a friend at WoW Insider.
That's true.
If you want to look at it that way.
Back in the day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Danielle, who we interviewed a couple of weeks ago or a week or two ago, she does a little wrap-up for those guys on the weekend via YouTube.
She does the second best video podcast thingy ever to be on WoW Insider.
Yeah, that's true. Good. What was the first one? The Terpster's...
The best one was Terpstervision.
Terpstervision,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, well, that's not me saying that. That's just, you know... empirical evidence and general consensus.
Oh, and you just saying that, right?
Obviously being the one saying it.
Yeah.
But yeah, hers is good.
It's real good. You guys should watch it. So we got this. They put up this article I just thought was kind of heartwarming and inspirational. Talks about a blind player named Ben Shaw on rating and WoW for the sightless, being able to play this game and being blind, and not just play it, but like putting other rogues to shame. I would mention. So I think people ought to check this link out. We'll have it in the show notes, and you can read it. Here's a quote from early in the article. How does a blind WoW player maintain competitive DPS and utility in endgame content? In an era where making a jump to a new raiding guild can be as challenging a proposition for any player, how does a guy who can't see bump into the front of the line? It's not PR power. Ben and I pulled up a virtual chair and a phone conversation across the ocean to talk about the challenges of playing a video game when you are completely blind. We're not talking about a guy who's got some blindness or color blindness or any of that. We're talking about a guy who cannot see and yet is competitive in a video game that requires you to do so if you want to play at the high level. And it's a really, really good article. It was posted by Lisa Poisio, I want to say is her name. Poiso, whatever it is.
I think, yeah, Lisa, yeah.
It's worth reading. So we'll put it in the show notes, and it's really interesting if you wanted to see stuff from a perspective of someone who can't see it at all.
That's super crazy.
Yeah,
I can't even imagine.
Imagine, so dude, imagine not being able to see a video game you're playing.
Oh, sorry, Gurp, I forgot you're blind. Sorry, I feel terrible now. I shouldn't be shouting.
Yeah, yeah. Get out of the fire.
There have been times where you might wonder.
I guess it's got to be, there has to be some sort of special setup or something to let you know where you're standing in proximity to specific mobs and items. And
yep. That'd be cool. It's like a James Earl Jones narrator that was just like, you know, you're at the back of the room. And it's, oh, this is cool. I'd want to play with that.
That is the worst James Earl Jones voice.
I can't do James Earl Jones.
It's terrible. Yeah.
CNN. He just had a low voice. I didn't know he said.
You know about the CNN thing. It's like you're an American, but not.
It's so like weird. I'm an American, but I could do Mufasa. Mm-hmm. You know, we eat the antelopes, they eat the grass, then we die and become the grass. And so then they're eating us. So that's why we eat them, is revenge.
Sure.
The circle of life.
Yeah.
I'm totally buying this. He talks maybe about all that, Dills. He talks about how he can and what he does, and it's amazing. Okay. So
I would imagine it'd be some sort of like a sonar add-on where you could kind of like get blips or something from how far things away from you are. Or I know that there's another guy who plays it, uses kind of like an assistant, like he has a playing partner.
Yeah, somebody with him. Somebody like a sighted. I've heard of that as well. And then we've got some, I know we've got some, this is the weirdest thing. There are people who listen to our show who are deaf. And I know that sounds like a contradiction, but I have heard from, people who, who have applications that transcribe what we're saying.
But surely they can't be that good. Like, because I've seen, you know, like on YouTube, the automatic subtitles are just completely wrong. I mean, I don't know what I say half the time. And I sure as hell know a computer ain't going to get me right. It's going to, you know, I'm going to come out all weird. And, you know, how does my accent come across in text?
Yeah.
It must be terrible.
Mine's all clear and easy to read. Yours is terrible. Yeah.
After audio descriptions, it would have to be like, you know, I'd say like, oh, Nerf rogues. I'd never say that. They're terrible. But then I'd have to say like, you know, in an English accent. And I'm just not sure how that all works.
Rogues are getting getting some boosts now, because aren't they kind of, people aren't happy with rogues?
Well, you just got to pick one and just continue to hate it, Scott. You can't pay attention to, you know, the ebbs and flow of nerfs and buffs. I just, you know, hating on rogues.
Well, Putinki was doing just fine on Wednesday. I don't know what. He was kicking everybody's trash.
So he says.
When Dills isn't in there, it's usually the Poot show.
Really?
And I'm trying to think who's after that. But yeah, the Rogues are usually right up there next to Dills when it comes to DPS output for the night. There you go. There's your drop of the week. Enjoy. A couple of quick iTunes shout-outs on the U.S. side of things. I want to thank ASDF85368, who left a very nice review, 5-star review on iTunes. Also, Pones Your Face, Kilroy7, Mr. Matt, and a slew of others who were very kind in their comments and their 5-star ratings.
I can't remember when the last time I actually read these, Scott, for the UK ones, because I haven't had...
been a while.
But I think, so I'm just going to go from... So Dr. 8-Ball, Totoro 241, that sounds familiar. Pimp Chimp.
Pimp Chimp!
Britza1.
I'm going to draw something called Pimp Chimp.
That sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Imagine he'd chimping ain't easy, is what he'd probably say. and then we got ZVFBDD, and they just say, oh, yeah, 5 stars. That sounds like something Pimp the Chimp would say.
Yeah.
Baldigger, quoth the lass.
Baldigler?
Baldigger. Baldigler. Baldigler.
Better than bowel diggler.
Bow diggler. Mm-hmm. It sounds like, you know, I like to diggle in the bowels.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Horde side.
Think, what?
Whatever. Whoa, what are you trying to say about the horde?
I don't know. I have to ask Greg. Excellent. Sorry. Well, thank you all for your 5-star reviews. I really appreciate that. I want to give a special thanks this week to Step Your Geek Up, your number one podcast for all things geek, from games to movies to comics. They cover it all. Available on iTunes and also, of course, for free. That's Step Your Geek Up. Just search for them there. And as always, to GameTimeZone.com, where if you use the code INSTANCE, you get 5% off at GameTimeZone.com.
So, does that mean it's the cheapest place to get game time? Like, I don't know. Is that the cheapest place?
I don't know. That's a very good question. I've never tested it.
Because I have to buy game cards to play in the US.
No, you should try it then. Because that's what they're for. That's what it is.
Yeah, I'm just having a look on the Blizzard store.
Have it a look-see. Give it a look-see.
Okay, I will do. Oh, this could be good.
Dills got DC'd. You back, Dills?
Again?
I'm back.
Okay.
He's back.
DC. I don't know what happened there. That was weird.
That was weird. Internet.
My internet is incredibly fast, according to speed test. And
you sound great.
Yeah.
You've never sounded better.
All over the place.
A little hiccup. I had so many things to say, too.
Well, I'm sure you did.
But, you know, whatever.
Well, I'll let you say something now. So what do you got going on before we kick out of here? You got anything cool on the ups that we should talk about?
Let's see. New episode of Litcast is available with Rosie Schapp. It's actually a really cool episode, especially for the ladies who like their taverns. It's called. She has a book called Drinking with Men.
Mm.
And it's all about... women who like pubs, who like, you know, dive bars, who like to just have a shot and a beer, you know, not an Appletini. Well, after that, they go home with someone maybe with a name that starts with T. I don't know.
Maybe
happened in the past, yeah.
Okay. Maybe in Baltimore, this may be what's happening.
This could happen, Terpster. There's plenty of dive bars in Baltimore.
Wouldn't it be amazing if, like, just like most of the East Coast looked like me? I just think that would be fantastic.
No, it wouldn't.
That'd be what a legacy.
It'd be terrible.
What a legacy, Scott.
It'd be terrible.
I can tell you could really turn that town around. They've got some problems over there.
So there's three things that Baltimore has.
I was told it was the murder capital of America.
It is.
It kind of is, yeah.
They told me that afterwards. Like, don't tell me
Even the MVP of their football team has murdered people. Yeah. That's how much people murder people in Baltimore.
Don't tell me that.
That's what they got. They have murder. They have TV shows based on their murders.
Based on murders.
And they have...
And they have really good crab.
Yeah, and they have
really
great
good
crab. So,
but they murder the crab.
They murder it. They kill it dead before you
eat
it.
They murder so much crab.
Brutal.
But yeah, so that's pretty much it.
Like, what should I be keeping an eye out for?
Keep an eye out for people with guns.
Yeah.
Guns and knives. I've got...
Watch out for people holding guns in their hands and aiming them at you.
Watch out for people to sell you crack cocaine or heroin.
Sure.
Because the exchange rate, I could get, it could be, not good. Yeah.
Right. look out for Richard Belzer.
Watch out for Richard Belzer.
He's don't make eye contact. I can't think
where Belzer is. Iced tea has to be close behind. So
right.
Oh, I do enjoy iced tea.
Yeah. Oh, and if you got excited that they were going to have Baltimore Oreos, you're pronouncing it wrong. It's actually Orioles. It's a bird. You won't get cookies like you had planned. It's a beautiful town. Is what we're saying.
Okay, brilliant. So as long as I don't get murdered, I'm going to have a great time.
You will.
It's actually coming at a good time too, because it shouldn't be too cold and nasty there. It should be. And now we're in March here. It's actually going to be decent weather. Like their winters are nasty.
Yeah, and it's more murdery in the summer.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely. I mean, it's too lazy to murder in the winter. You just can't do it.
Right,
I mean, I'm looking at the weather report for over there is pretty much the same as over here. That's all right.
Perfect.
I can live with that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Gray,
because I live with it now, so I can live with that.
Gray and gross. Yeah, enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Baltimore, Tori Amos, USA.
Tori Amos is from there?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, how many more hippie singers are from there?
I don't know. Probably a lot.
All right. Well, all well and good. Terpster, we know what you're doing, what you got going. Don't forget to check him in London next Monday.
Definitely. Say hello to me.
Yeah.
Give me high fives.
Pop by. A quick note to listeners that if you are interested in Nerdtacular 2013, the Kickstarter is still underway. We did our basic core funding in about 2 hours the other day, but we are still continuing on with stretch goals and all kinds of stuff to help make that event bigger and better than ever. If you want to support it, just search for Nerdtacular on Kickstarter, or you can get there right from nerdtacular.com. I want to thank MatthewOxley.com, or him and his site, for his great intro music. It's always good. I want to thank intern Paul Swickard, or as I will now call him, Intal, for his great show notes and stuff. He's been putting up great stuff, like when 5.2 broke, he put that up. He's doing awesome on the site, so go do check his work out there at theinstance.net. Forum show notes, archives, and more can be found right there, theinstance.net. You can also find us on Twitter, Instance Show for the show. Please follow it.
Scott,
yeah.
You've done the third stretch goal.
Yeah, we have.
Already on Kickstarter.
We're on our way to
so
fourth.
So you need to have like a fourth stretch goal,
mm-hmm.
Which would be to get Terpster a stretched limo,
yeah.
Stretched Hummer,
right?
To rock up to Nerdtacular in.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, well, how does that benefit us? And I say, it doesn't.
It doesn't at all. It only benefits Terpster.
I will tell you about how fantastic it was.
Oh, really? Okay, let's get that up. You hearing that, Dave? My intrepid business manager? Go ahead and add that on there, please.
That's good. Add it on there. And what I could do is I could take a picture, and all the backers get to look at the picture and be a little bit envious of how much fun I had.
Perfect. All right. Course. That's done.
$50,000
right there.
Yeah, why not?
$50,000 on that. That'd be good.
All right. Now, here's the important part of the show. Follow me on Twitter at Scott Johnson. Follow Dills at Willie Dills. I don't think you need to bother following Terpster. He's about to leap. He's about to yog right past me.
It's okay. That's it, Scott. Well, actually, I found out is that most of my followers follow me because they really like me, they said. Uh-huh. And it wasn't anything to do with the Yogscast.
Yeah, zero. So it's just this huge
influx. Coincidence. Uh-huh. It's a coincidence.
Right.
So, yeah.
I don't believe that when I'm believing things like fairies are real. So there you go. He's at the_T if you want to.
Fairies aren't real, Scott, because that would really mess with my worldview.
They're seriously real, and they want you. Facebook.com/TheInstant. You can find more great shows just like this and other cool stuff at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Dills, for Terpster. We'll see you next week for another episode of The Instance.
Bye-bye.
Gridlock strikes Pandaren ruling council. It's the overly dramatic news. I'm Hunts the Wind. In a culture that strives for harmony, it isn't surprising the Pandaren government has long been known for its commitment to consensus building and cooperation. But with the arrival of the Hordan Alliance, a not small portion of the Pandaren population has taken one side or the other with disturbing implications. Many Pandaren voting districts are now known as blue or red areas because of the multitude of Horde or Alliance banners seen flying over homes. While tensions have been growing steadily, they reached a new peak this past few weeks as the members of the Red Panda Party have increasingly adopted the hardline attitudes of Garrosh Hellscream. Any RPP member who speaks approvingly of Blaine Bloodhoof or Vol Jin has been run out of the party and accused of being a Pino, Pandaren in name only. Now this ideologically pure party has taken its battle into the council chambers, demanding steep cuts in any spending not directly related to military matters. The council is as deadlocked as a 3-hour Arathi Basin battle, to the dismay of many Pandaren. As one respected monk elder put it, "We have long battled the Shahs of anger, fear, and doubt. It would be a tragedy if the great Pandaren civilization fell to a new Shah brought to our shores by others, the Shah of uncompromising partisanship." Wise words indeed. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
What's up, guys? This is Kephas, your friendly neighborhood monk. And on today's Mod Minute, we're talking about Elephant. Elephant keeps logs of all of your chat channels. Everything from guild chat, raid chat, and your combat log, and any custom channels that you have. So if you need to remember any conversation that you've had, this mod is great, especially if you're an officer or a guild leader or a raid leader. It'll keep track for up to 1,000 lines per channel, and it makes it very easy for you to copy and paste logs to a separate document. On top of that, if you are to log off or get disconnected, it'll automatically save these logs for you, so you can get back to them whenever you need to. So if you feel the need to keep track of any of your chat channels for whatever reason, you need to check out Elephant. You can find Elephant at Curse. You can follow me on Twitter at TheKephas, and you can learn more about Mod Minute by heading over to modminute.blogspot.com. This is Kephas. Until next time.
Hello, my name is Tandon from Earthen Ring US. Join me in this little segment I like to call Soloing Azeroth.
Insolent whelps! Your blood will temper the weapons used to reclaim this world!
Next up on our Ulduar soloing adventure is Ignis the Furnace Master in 10 Man Normal. There are a couple of strategies we can use for this solo kill. Up first, the cautious version. Start by clearing the trash down the left side of the room. Engage Ignis and pull him to the edge of the water. Position yourself in the water, but right on the edge. By doing this, we can prevent the Scorch ability from causing the floor to catch fire, causing periodic damage. In addition to spitting fire everywhere, Ignis will also summon an iron construct, which will also grant Ignis a 20% damage buff. For my Windwalker monk, I could ignore the adds and focus on Ignis, but other classes may have to wait until the iron constructs become brittle from the Scorch ability and give them a 5k love tap to reduce the extra incoming damage. All that is left is just to DPS Ignis down and be on your way. Now for the quick version. Run right down the center of the room, avoiding all of the adds, and engage Ignis where he stands. Then kill him before he kills you. This strategy may require effective use of your defensive cooldowns, but is by far the quickest and most efficient.
I have failed.
If you have any questions or requests, you can find me at awkwarddragongames.com or on Twitter at ShimmerADG. That's Shimmer with a 3, not an E.
Greetings, and welcome to Slash Grants. I'm your host, Yifeng G4. I'm here to talk to you about the fun achievements you can earn in the World of Warcraft. This week's 10 points, when in a Gauluk, do as a Scumblade do. Our goal here is to slash bow before the following forms of Kroshik. A Kroshik egg, a baby Kroshik, adult Kroshik, and sacrificed Kroshik. Within a week, Kroshik advances through an egg, a baby, an adult, and sadly sacrificed. So you're going to have to find this mighty Devilsar throughout the week. Now keep in mind that this happened chronologically. On what day of the week does it start as an egg and become a sacrificed? I couldn't tell you. So you're going to have to find it, and then whichever phase you see it, you'll be able to go from there. If you have NPC scan, go ahead and head over to slashgrats.com and write down the numbers for each form of Kroshik. Pop that in your NPC scan and you'll get alerted once you're nearby. Hopefully, you'll get those 10 points. You can follow me on Twitter at EFinkG4. You can catch up on these segments at slashgrats.com. Any feedback or screenshots you'd like to share, send them to feedback@slashgrats.com. I get some achievements done with me. I'm Thunderhorns on Earthen Ring US. See you next week.
Welcome, students, to Monk Meditation, a time to learn and reflect on aspects of the monk class. This week's lesson, Ring of Peace. The talent Deadly Reach, which extended the range of paralysis, has been replaced as the standard range of paralysis was increased. In its place, in the level 60 talent choice tier, is another crowd control spell to go along with Leg Sweep and Charging Ox Wave, called Ring of Peace. It forms an 8-yard sanctuary around a friendly target for 8 seconds, and has a 45-second cooldown. This spell will act differently depending on if it is used for PvE or PvP. In PvE, it will disarm all enemies in that zone, and any enemy that casts a spell will be silenced for 3 seconds. Additionally, in PvP, it will disable enemy auto attacks. Thank you for listening to Monk Meditation. Catch me in-game as Chai T, C-H-A-I-T-H-I, on Aerial Peak or Argent Dawn, or on Twitter at WowMonk.
Welcome to Azeroth's Fantastic Race. I'm your host, BroBaby. Today, we'll continue to announce the final four teams that will compete for the great prize. Now, team number 5. You've worn his pants, you've held his shield, it's Dills and Terpster. Team 6. They were the winners of Season 12 and Season 15 of Big Brother Silvermoon Edition. It's Tanadalen and Stumpenstein. Team number 8 is made up of the mistresses of Etiquette and Petiquette. Sure. It's Miss Mulgra and Eludra the Mage. And team 8, he stays out of the fire. Everybody yells at him, "Get out of the poo!" And the other one, he spins the tunes that you love. It's Gurp and Morgaram. There you have it, the 8 teams that will compete in Azeroth's Fantastic Race. Now next week we'll kick off the very first leg of the journey. Now be sure to check out the website at fantasticrace.blogspot.com. And you can follow me at BroBaby. Vote now for your favorite team. Your votes increase their chances to win each competition. You can vote at fantasticrace.blogspot.com.
Hey everybody, it's Amy Jade, and this week I'm going to talk about class changes warlocks can expect in patch 5.2. Now due to time constraints, I'm going to have to be brief. Our fell armor now reduces damage taken by 10% instead of increasing our armor. Burning Rush now prevents movement impairing effects from reducing your movement speed below 100% of normal. Our Imp's Blood Pact buff has been removed and added instead to our Dark Intent buff. Soul Leech now gives an absorption shield instead of healing. The cost of our Demon's Sacrificial Pact has been reduced from 50% of their health to only 25%. Kil'jaeden's Cunning is now a passive talent, and its active ability has been removed. Our Grimoire of Sacrifice for both Destruction and Affliction Warlocks got a reduction, keeping it in line with our Grimoire of Supremacy. Both the Glyph of Burning Embers and the Glyph of Soul Shards have been removed and are now baseline for Destruction and Affliction. For Demonology, our Hand of Gul'dan, our Shadow Bolt, our Shadow Flame, our Touch of Chaos, and our Wild Imp's Firebolt all have had their spell damage increased by 15%, on top of Soulfire's increase of 22%. For Affliction, our Unstable Affliction's Backlash effect will always critically hit and deal 15% more damage. For Destruction Warlocks, Incinerate will do 10% more damage, along with both Conflagrate and Immolate that will be increased by 20% as well. Now, to read about these changes and a few I didn't get a chance to mention, simply go to battle.net and check up on the patch notes. And until next time, I'll see all of you in patch 5.2.
Hello everybody, and welcome to episode 1 of Fermenting Azeroth, your brewing news from the world of Warcraft. I'm your host, Brewmaster Cohumulo. I ran across a question on a popular fan site that asked, what do brewing and monks have to do with each other anyway? One thing that WoW does well when creating in-game references to real-world activities is that they have enough differences to where things aren't completely identical. Brewing and monks go back for centuries, although most prevalent in the European monasteries. Some examples of this type of beer are Chimay, in different varieties, and Orval, although many may be familiar with Leffe Abbey Double. Belgian monks are probably the most known for their brews these days, but their German side heritage is what really led them down that path. The old German monks began brewing for their after effects, causing them to be more spiritual, but also for nourishment. One of my favorite lagers is what's known as the Doppelbock, or Double Bock beer. It's a higher alcoholic beverage, so one can become intoxicated rather quickly. But there are also a lot of calories and complex carbohydrates in them. Keeping in mind that higher alcohol content implies higher volumes of malt, these beers were specifically concocted to sustain the monks through Lent. Each year, the new Bock was brought to the Catholic Church for their approval for consumption during Lent. Sources say that monks were allotted the equivalent to 5 pints per day in modern Western measurement terms. Now, I'm not as versed in the Asian monk culture, but when evaluating the why do we fight question from the Pandaren, think Shaolin monks. While these monks were known for their combat prowess, they were actually forbidden from alcohol consumption, therefore causing me to believe that brewing component within the Warcraft monks is not affiliated with Asian monks at all. So in sum, it would appear that Blizzard incorporated the brewing characteristics from the European monks and the fighting expertise from the Asian monks. That's this episode of Fermenting Azeroth, your brewing news from the world of Warcraft. Follow me on Twitter at Ferment Azeroth, or check out the site fermentingazeroth.com.
Welcome to another edition of Science of Warcraft. With the rise of the Thunder King, this week we'll explore the element of lightning. Electricity can be created in many different ways. For this segment, we'll explore how natural lightning works and how it integrates into World of Warcraft. While it is not entirely confirmed what causes lightning in the skies, scientists still have a good idea. As water droplets evaporate into the clouds, they often freeze high in the atmosphere. However, those droplets can also collide with the frozen droplets. That collision can knock off electrons. Water vapor that has lost their electrons will rise due to the lost mass. This separation between more and less charged water vapor creates an electrical charge that has to go somewhere. Just as on Earth, different locations are more prone to lightning strikes than others. In the case of the new Isle of Thunder, High temperatures means more water evaporation, and if the temperature in the upper atmosphere is significantly lower, that means constant lightning strikes. Thanks for listening. Always remember that the world has much more depth than you realize. Please send any comments or suggestions to scienceofwarcraft@gmail.com.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Melgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, what should one be looking for when shopping for a new warg? Durability? Capacity? Payments? Shopping for a new warg can be an exciting experience, but you should not go to the stable masters without some idea of what you are looking for. Wargs come in many different colors and temperaments, and it is important to coordinate your raid members for the highest fashion points. Keep in mind that only one adult rider will fit on a single warg. Plan carefully to avoid the embarrassment of arriving at a raid on a taxi, or worse, walking like a level 15. The best quality to look for in a new warg is no fleas. I am Miss Mulgra, and that is my advice. Akamagosh! Follow at Miss Mulgra on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgra.com. Thanks to Dwarf Monk Roski for this week's question.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.